let's head out to college baseball again here. Another weird thing happened. Yes, there was the thing where the umpire called a bad third strike call in a game between New Orleans and who was it?
Mississippi Valley State.
Mississippi Valley State. Thank you, Josh. Over the weekend. And then we go to last night. And it wasn't anything that was going on the field, but the players from Ole Miss and Jacksonville State can forever say that they were involved in the game where the announcer said the following.
Designated hitter looking to get aboard. Sorry about that, folks. Designated Hitler.
Oh, no.
Just a couple of local guys filling in on an ESPN Plus broadcast. And
Designated Hitler. Just a slip up, I guess.
Designated Hitler.
So that was a play-by-play man by the name of Logan Maddox. Logan also is the assistant SID at Jacksonville State. Threw in a quick sorry about that, folks. Just that's maybe my favorite part.
What would you do in that situation? Because as a broadcaster, you're kind of told, hey, if you don't acknowledge a mistake, people will kind of wonder.
Yeah, you have to. You have to.
I think that's one where you do have to go, whoopsie doodle.
So either I laugh. I mean, my natural reaction is going to be just to laugh. The other thing I could do is just say, oh, no.
I've made a terrible error.
Oh, no.
I'm going to get canceled now.
I said designated Hitler instead of designated hitter. He also acknowledged his gaffe later on Twitter.
Oh.
Logan did. People found him.
Sure.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing about this. I don't imagine that anybody actually would get offended by this, but
no,
who knows?
I mean,
people get offended by stuff.
We don't have, like, the first 5 seconds before that clip, but I'm sure he didn't say, like, oh, here's second baseman Austin Rouser. He's a Hitler or something like that, you know?
Right. Didn't make any other off-color jokes during the broadcast.
No.
And Logan decided to quote tweet the original tweet from, I think Stephen Skoch was actually watching this game because he's a true college baseball sicko. He's a former UVA pitcher and now is in the college baseball media. That's where I saw the video for the first time last night. I'm like, I'm going to click on this, see what happens. And he said designated Hitler. And Logan, the man who said it, grabbed the video on Twitter and just simply responded by saying, whoops.
All right.
So he is acknowledged. And people have made jokes about this on Twitter as well. A lot of people make the same joke, which is now we know why baseball, you know, declined or was trying to fight the universal DH for so long.
Mm-hmm.
It's the universal designated Hitler. That'd probably be pretty bad.
Yeah, I would go on record then and say that would be bad. Yes.
So that's last night in college baseball. Kind of weird.
Oh, very weird. Hilarious.
Definitely still funny. That's for sure.
Who won the game?
That's a good question. I don't know. I assume Ole Miss, but they were down at the time.
Defending champs.
Number two or three in the country, and they were losing to Jacksonville State at the moment.
They lost 10-6.
Wow. Good win for Jack State last night.
Yeah. Now Ole Miss has to go on the road to Vanderbilt this weekend.
Travis texts into the show.
Hi, Travis.
951-1620. I'm sure there's plenty of hardcore National League fans who were cheering, hell yeah, brother, the DH is the devil. Nope, he said that right. No, he said that right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a whole lot of that. It was one of the rare times in the country where we all said, oh, that's just a mistake, and we're going to let this guy off the hook. This guy does not need canceling or anything like that.
Absolutely not.
And he's not going to get canceled. Hey, Josh, I was looking at some so actually, you know, the idea sort of came up. I was reading Stuart Mandel's mailbag today, and they asked him about TV contracts and realignment and stuff like that. And it's more of a basketball topic than it is a football. So what are big numbers for a college basketball game? And who is the biggest draw? What are the most watched games? Duke, North Carolina, and then what afterwards? And then he put the list of the most watched college basketball games this year in the regular season. And this held the entire year. I didn't think to check back on it after it happened, but the Creighton DePaul Christmas game after Packers Dolphins, that was the most watched regular season college basketball game of the year, Josh.
People outside of Omaha, like if you were in, I don't know, Detroit or Denver or Phoenix or someplace, and you just ask someone, hey, what do you think the highest rated college basketball
game? Regular season.
Yeah, they would never guess that.
Well, I think you would say North Carolina, Duke.
Yeah.
And you'd be right in pretty much every year. The two Duke-North Carolina games were number two and three.
Okay.
So, and then there was, you know, a couple Big Ten games. Let's see, Michigan State, Indiana, Michigan, Indiana, Purdue, Indiana. So Indiana's obviously a huge draw. Kentucky, Michigan State, UCLA, Kentucky, Colorado, UCLA. Don't know what the circumstances surrounding that were. Was that another, like, NFL game?
I mean, it would almost have to be,
after
right?
After an NFL game?
Yeah.
Potentially. And then Kansas is, so 114, what day of the week was 114? That was a Saturday. So I'm not sure what happened there. It was like the first big college basketball Saturday, I guess. Because the week before, anyway. So that was the most watched regular season game of the year, the Creighton DePaul Christmas game. Mandel writes this, the two Duke-UNC games are generally the Ohio State-Michigan of basketball on TV this year. They drew 2.86 and 2.63 million viewers. Great for basketball, but about 15 to 20% of a typical Ohio State-Michigan game, which was 17 million last year. Big Ten basketball games also do so well because many are on CBS this year. Indiana appeared in three of the seven regular season games that reached 2 million. To give you a sense of more typical regular season audiences, SBJ reported the following averages in 2022-2023. CBS, 1.32 million. ESPN, 955,000. Fox, which added a Saturday primetime game this year, 963,000. Then you sort of go down the line from there. The CBS and Fox numbers are roughly 20% of their regular season college football numbers, which lines up exactly with the often-cited realignment stat that basketball accounts for 20% of a league's TV contract. But, and this is sort of what I want to talk about, those numbers ramp up big time for the NCAA tournament. Last year's Duke-Michigan State second-round game on CBS drew 11.2 million viewers, higher than any college football conference championship game or non-college football playoff bowl game last season. The UNC St. Peter's Elite Eight game got 13.6 million. And that was about the same as last fall's Georgia-Tennessee football game. And the Kansas-North Carolina national title game notched 18.1 million, which actually beat this year's college football national championship game between Georgia and TCU. Now, if you remember, the game between Georgia and TCU, not necessarily the most exciting game.
It was not. People forget.
People do indeed forget that. So I thought that was sort of notable. And, you know, the March Madness TV numbers, it's a reason why, you know, we love the college basketball tournament the way it is, and people watch it. And it's sort of an institution. Regardless of the brands that are in it, it is the experience in and of itself. The brands make a lot of sense for the regular season. Now, normal college football playoff semifinal games and championship games are going to outdraw you know, tenfold regular season college basketball games, or the, even the normal college basketball game. But I think it makes a lot of sense, and March Madness TV numbers being greater than football, it's a system that works right now. So for those of whoever they are, Dick Vitale, whoever's out there trying to change the format for the NCAA tournament, just please don't. For a lot of different reasons, for the fun of it, but also because it works. It's proven. It works. People watch it. It gets huge numbers. And the NCAA, frankly, needs this. It's their biggest event every year. They don't run the college football playoff. So the NCAA needs something like this in order for, you know, in order for the NCAA to kind of continue to survive monetarily.
It's a quick billy for the NCAA.
Yeah. It's not the worst thing in the world. No. And then there was this on ratings real quick. Awful Announcing put this out. So the Big Ten tournament leads decline-plagued championship weekend. And so they pulled some numbers from the conference championship weekends for college basketball. And it says, breaking up the Big Ten's monopoly at the top of the charts this year was the ACC. Duke's win over Virginia in the ACC championship averaged 2.6, it's almost 2.7 million viewers on ESPN Saturday night.
Really?
Texas-Kansas Big 12 tournament championship was the only other game championship weekend to top 2 million, averaging almost 2.5 million. Alabama-Texas A&M was under 2. Let me keep on going down the list here. And by the way, this has a lot to do with brands, I think. Think about this. The Big East final was down, dropping to under a million viewers on Fox. 980,000 viewers for Marquette's win over Xavier in the Big East title game. Last year, Villanova's win over Creighton averaged 1.2 million viewers. The Big East championship fell behind not only all of the games mentioned above this year, so all the other conference title games, but also the A-10 title game. Both Big 12 semifinals, one ACC semifinal, and one quarterfinal.
Whoa.
And both SEC semifinals and one quarterfinal.
Well, two quote-unquote Midwest schools.
That's it.
Small brands.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
You nailed it. So I know there was a tweet floating around this week about how the Midwest Big East schools are not necessarily good for the conference. Now, if you're going to use the ratings argument, you might have a point. Seriously, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's not the same. Which is interesting considering how the opposite's really true in football. Like Midwestern football programs really follow, but I guess we're just talking about the fan bases being smaller and smaller and smaller. I mean, we're talking about Marquette and Creighton and Xavier. We're not talking about Nebraska, Wisconsin, and, you know, Ohio State, right? So that makes a lot of the difference. But I thought, you know, and there is a chance. I mean, the Big East is going into negotiations right now with Fox, and they're entering into negotiations with Fox. I mean, it's obviously a trickle-down for the rest of the things and what Fox is going to end up doing. There's football stuff. There's basketball stuff involved in there, too. Obviously, the Big East and Fox have had an awesome partnership together. I think it's helped both. It's really given the Big East a home. But with that being said, I do wonder what happens in the next round of those negotiations, if anything changes or not, and what sort of happens in that regard. As they've gone through the first run with this contract in the Big East, with all the, you know, since it's realigned with all the Midwestern schools and everything, I wonder how Fox thinks they came out of that. That I don't know, but it will be an important piece of the next round of negotiations.
Real quickly, you asked how Colorado and UCLA popped such a big rating.
Yeah, tell me.
It aired immediately after an NFL playoff game.
Playoffs. It was the playoffs by then. Well, there you go. Hey, there's your strategy. If you want to pop a big number every once in a while, just put yourself right after an NFL game.
Sure. Why not?
Also, by the way, doesn't that tell you a lot about the TV ratings in general? That, like, isn't that kind of BS that it counts the people who just
Just leave their TV on.
They just leave their TVs mm-hmm. on?
Passively watching.
I feel like that shouldn't count.
Yeah.
But, ooh. I mean, the Big East, in Creighton and DePaul's case, and the Pac-12 certainly enjoy the fact that it does count.
Yeah.
But you could really, I mean, that's an area where conferences can really get creative in where to put some of their games.
And I think you'll see conferences
if you,
the networks to do so.
If you ever have an opportunity, piggyback along with an NFL game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one thing that this year in TV rating certainly taught us, for at least for college basketball. Okay, Mitch Sherman of The Athletic is coming up here in just a couple minutes. We'll talk to him about Texas, and some other stuff. And we'll do that next here on 1620 The Zone. But first, this March, take your shot at college hoops, betting on college hoops with the FanDuel Sportsbook, and get 10 times your first bet amounts and bonus bets up to $200. That's right. So, for example, you bet $20 on the bracket anywhere on it, and you'll land $200 in bonus bets. That's win or lose. So I'm pretty sure that just makes you a winner the entire time. $200 you could spend on the bracket, money lines, point spreads, teams to make the Sweet 16, teams to make a run in the Final Four, teams to not make the Sweet 16, anything you want on the board. FanDuel.com has tons of options available for you. Or you could do it all on the app, which is safe, secure, and easy to use. No better place to bet the tournament than with our friends from the FanDuel Sportsbook. Sign up today by going to FanDuel.com/Happer and make every moment more with FanDuel all tournament long. 21 and over, present in Iowa. First online real money wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.